Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Tzadik Beis. We're holding three lines from the bottom of Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara begins. Amar Avashi ulekol loychai shinon. What is this referring to? Back in our Mishnah, we learned that there's a difference between someone. Let's go back to the Mishnah just for a short moment. Beginning of our parak, back on Pei Zayin Amud Beis, we had a isha shaholach balum dinasayam. A woman whose husband went for a trip to Medina Sayyam. And subsequently, Ubovi Amrullah Meis Balech. Unfortunately, your husband passed away. And although the Lashon HaMishnah is Ubovi Amrullah, which is a Lashon Rabim, we already learned a number of times that it really means that only one aid came and he said, your husband passed away. Based on that, Phinesis, and she remarried to someone else. V'yachach bo Baal, and then her husband returned on the scene. What's halacha now? Teitzei mizeh umizeh. She has to leave not only the second husband, to whom she was never really legally married to, because after all she was still married to her first husband, but she has to leave the first husband as well. And the reason for that, we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, because of a knas that we put on her, because you cannot just simply rely on one aid. The Torah always says, lo pishnayim eidim yakum davar. But Chum said, because the Isha is daika uminsiva, that means that she's going to go and do due diligence. One aid said her husband passed away. She's going to call up the FBI and the CIA and the Mossad and Interpol and KGB, etc., etc., that everybody who has any business in detective work that can figure this puzzle out is going to be able to go and give her information, yes or no. Unfortunately, she did not do a good enough job, because she was so convinced that her husband passed away, she remarried. But fortunately, or unfortunately, her husband came back alive. Okay.
So the due diligence doesn't help her in any way.
The due diligence helps her that we allow her to remarry, even though she only had one aide that testified that her husband passed away.
But if the deceased husband shows up, that nullifies
that shows that she did not do due diligence. She was supposed to. Obviously, she didn't do a good enough job.
I do due diligence up to a certain point.
I know, but the chum required, if you want to get married, normally you have two aidim. You want to rely on one? Now it's on the burden is on you to make sure that you don't make any mistakes and no omissions. And if it means waiting for 5 or 10 years, that's what you got to do.
Make. What if there are two aidim and the husband comes back?
That's an excellent question. The Mishnah deals with that as well. That's really not for today's discussion. But the Mishnah said that under those circumstances, obviously she has to leave the second husband, but she can return to the first husband. Why can she return to the first husband? She says, I was an ones. I relied, the Torah allowed me to rely on two kosher edim. These were two wonderful kosher edim. They said he died, so what am I supposed to do?
And if she had children, they're mamzerim also?
If she had mamzerim from the second husband, unfortunately they are mamzerim. Because she's a married lady. It's unfortunate. That you can't help. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, three lines from the bottom of Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis. There was one aid that said that the husband passed away. Says Rav Ashi, Ula kol loy chashinan. And we're not concerned with a kol. Kol would mean that there is some sort of shmua that's going around that her husband passed away. Now what does that mean? Actually, not that he passed away, but that he's still alive, Baruch Hashem, he's alive and kicking. Says Rav Ashi, I'm not worried about that call. What does that mean, I'm not worried? Hai kol, what type of call do you mean? Are we talking about that after she already married the second person? And now we hear a call. Not that two Adam came, but we are a call. There is
rumors.
A shmua. Rumors, exactly. Rumors in the marketplace that her husband is still alive. Says Rav Ashi, you can disregard those. Let the wife continue living with the second husband. If that's what Rav Ashi is coming to tell us, Rav Ashi already told us this in another scenario. The Om Rav Ashi, what did Rav Ashi say? If you hear a call if you hear a call before marriage, you got to be concerned. But if you hear a call after marriage, that you don't have to worry about, because you just leave it on the chazaka that everything is fine until you have edim that say otherwise. Now, when did Rav Ashi say this kol kola de basar yisur lechashinan? A totally different fact pattern. You had a kohen who married a regular isha. Everything was fine and dandy and great. And then a month later, a year later, a kol comes out that this woman that he married was in fact a grusha or a zona, to whom he was not allowed to marry in the first place. But there were no edim, it was just that gossip, that rumor that came out. Does the husband have to be noivis about it? No, you don't have to worry. Until edim come, there's nothing to be choshish. Zok Gemara. See, if that's the case, good morning, David. We're on Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, top line. So I would think, says the Gemara, what do I need Rav Ashi to repeat this halacha twice? Both in the case of the kohen that married the isha, there was a kol of a grusha or zayna, and in our case where she remarried, and after the marriage, then there's this rumor going around that the husband's still alive. So what do you have to repeat this twice? So you want to say mahoil vasoil beidina b'sharin and law ki kola de kaminesu endami v'titzer. Over here, there's also a little bit of a history. Meaning the case of the kohen that married the isha, and afterwards we have a kol. We have rumors that she was a grusha or zayna. Prior to the marriage, we didn't hear anything. No. Had we heard something, that would be a kol pre-nisuin. We're talking about a kol post-nisuin. So therefore, since before the marriage, we didn't hear anything, you know, don't have to worry about it. Later on, there's a kol. Okay, there's a lot of fake news going on out there. You don't have to worry about it unless you get to Adam. But no Adam, nothing. However, in our case, since there was already a din udvarim, there was already a court case, if you will, where the woman had one aide testify that her husband passed away. She didn't know, can I get married? Can I not get married? She went to the Bezin, and Bezin said, you can get married provided that you do your due diligence. What does it mean, due diligence? You have to go and hire every detective agency in the world to determine whether your husband is alive or dead. You got to do that. Ah, so therefore, since there was already a masa umatan, there was already a discussion about her situation pre-nisuin, although the rabbi said you can get married, but there was already this possibility that the husband is still alive. We don't know for sure. And now, post-nisuin, guess what? Rumors came up that her husband, Taki, is still alive. So I would think maybe we should go and be mitzvah of the two. The fact that initially, before she got married, there was already some question on the table whether she's allowed to remarry or not. And now we actually heard a call, we heard these rumors that in fact her husband is still alive. So maybe, Vetitza, maybe we should say that she's also even in a call to Basar Nisuan, because we should deem it as if it's a call pre-Nisuan, because after all there was a discussion about a pre-Nisuan. Kamash Malon. Just like in the case of the Kohen with the Isha and the Kol of Grusha Lezoina, same thing applies over here too. It's a Kol de Basa in Nisuan. You don't have to worry about it until you have real live Eid. Says right to the Mishnah. Nisis al pi bezin teitzer. Now, our Mishnah now is talking about an inyan of bringing a carbon. And the Mishnah said that if she was Nisis al pi bezin, in other words, the bezin said, go ahead and get married. After that, her husband came back alive. Does she have to go and bring a carbon? Why would she have to bring a carbon? Because it turns out that now, retroactively, the whole time since she's been married, she's been living in sin with a second husband. And since she's still married to the first husband, she's not allowed to marry, not allowed to live with that second husband. Okay, it was a mistake. It was a shogeg. Does she have to bring a korban chatos? Because every time a person is over an iser, where the mezid there would be kores, the shogeg you have to bring a korban chatos. Here, the mezid there is kores. Yeah, if there were edim and hasra, a mezid, not only would there be kores, there could be a din of misa. Misa be debeth. However, here we're talking about a situation where there were no edim, it was not a mezid, the whole thing was a shogeg. Does she have to bring a korban? Yes or no? So our Mishnah said, if it's al pi bezin, she does not have to bring a korban. Why doesn't she have to bring a korban? Because she says, I relied on bezin. And the Gemara Masechtas Hoirius, at the very beginning of the Masechtas says, since it says, Va'asri so, achas mikol mitzvah Hashem, says the Gemara Va'asri so, if she independently did it without the benefit of the bezin. However, if she can say, I hung my hat on the Bezdin's psak, the Bezdin gave me a certificate, I'm allowed to remarry. Okay, so it's not my mistake, it's their mistake. Let them bring a korban chatzis. So Mishnah said that she's part. Omaziri, les lemasisu minitoni de midrasha. Our Mishnah is not lahalacha because of the following braisa that was taught in the Bismedrash, where in the braisa it said, Tani be midrasha. hoyru bezin shishaka chamad. So he says, Orucha, ein zu hayra'a ela to'os. What the Gemara now is introducing a new concept over here. The Gemara is saying is that a bezin can make one of two types of mistakes. They can make a mistake in hayra'a. Hayra'a means in making the correct halachic decision, which is therefore a legal blunder, a legal mistake. Or they can make a mistake in the facts. And the Gemara gives a very simple example. For instance, it's now, it appears to be Matzah Shabbos. In those days, of course, they didn't have digital time clocks like we have today. People go outside, Shabbos Shudas time, they look outside, it's very, very dark. Therefore, there were three rabbis over there. The Bezin said, Rabbeisai, we can daven Maariv, Shabbos is over. Right after Maariv was over, a couple of people started smoking on a cigarette, and a couple other people started taking their keys and driving away in a car. And then guess what? Half an hour later, all of a sudden, the sun comes out, and they realize they made a big boo-boo. The question is, a person L'chodesh should have to bring a car M'chatas, because he made a mistake in a Dova Shiyesh by Kares. Does he bring a Chatas or not? So Bei Midrash said, this is not a heroic bezin with a bezin. We're sitting down with their rabbinical judicial guard discussing halacha based on Rabbi Kivega, based on the Rambam, based on the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Tshuva Noida Behuda, and a Chassam Sofer. No, it was partially a mistake. You know, anybody can make a mistake. If you would go around the Mismedish that day at the time of Shalom Shudas, what does it look like to you, Yankov? To me, it looks like it's really, really dark. And what do you think? Shabbos is probably over half an hour ago. And what do you think? Not half an hour, 15 minutes ago. So it wasn't that it was a faulty decision. It was just a faulty determination of facts.
An honest mistake.
Oh, so now the question is, can the person say, well, I relied on Bezin, three rabbis, long beards, the old said it's after Shabbos, that's why I went and drove my car away, if I would have known. Are you potter from being a carbon? Says Tanur Midrasha, no, you have to bring a carbon chatas. Therefore, Ziri says that's the same thing over here. What happened over here? It's not so much that you're relying on the Bezin, you're relying on the fact that her husband died, because it was 1-8, so she assumed that he's dead. And guess what? It was a terrible blunder. The aide made a mistake, and the wife made a mistake, and the CIA and the FBI made a mistake. So therefore, she does have to bring a karma chatas after all. So that's what Ziri says. Ignore what it says in the Mishnah that she's parted from a chatas. She has to bring a chatas, because this was not a faulty rabbinical judicial determination. It was a mistake. Rav Nachman Omar, no, hayrohi. It was a real live decision of a bezdin. And therefore, you can rely what it says in the Mishnah that you do not have to bring a carbon chatas. Now, why does Rav Nachman say that? I'm Rav Nachman, take that, bring it right, I wrote that I'm right. The Bechalatiri Kula, Eid Echaloy Mehemon. Normally, throughout Kalatiri Kula, anytime you have a Shaila, Pishnai made him Yakim Davar, Vahochim Mehemon. And here we believe the 1-8. Why do we believe the 1-8? It's not because of innocent mistakes and blunders. It's because there was a judicial decision by the rabbis that you can rely on 1-8. My time, Allah, Mishim, my Rahi, so we see it's Hira. Since it's a faulty Hira, what's the halacha? Halacha is you can rely on the Bezdin, and therefore you don't have to go and bring a carbon chatas.
It's not really relying on the 1-8 because Bezdin says, okay, you have one witness, but you have to do due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman is participating in authenticating whether or not her husband is deceased or not.
Correct. So what you're really doing is touching on what is the difference of opinion between Ziri and Rav Nachman. This is really a hybrid situation. It's not a case of everybody looked outside and it's dark at night and everybody determined it must be night, and afterwards we see that everybody made a mistake, a blunder. Here we're talking about, as you say, the Bezin had to come up with a decision, and the decision was we're relying on this 1-8. Do your due diligence, a combination of the two. She did it, and after that it turned out that she was mistaken. So the question is this considered to be a faulty psak, or is it considered to be a mistake in the facts? So you have a combination. The lady says, I wouldn't have relied on myself. It's the rabbis, the paskin. that as long as it's 1/8, with my due diligence, I relied on that 1/8 and I did my due diligence, and unfortunately we made a mistake. But since I relied on the bezin, I want to be parted from the carbon. While according to Ziri says, no, the bezin itself was mistaken in allowing for the lady to go and rely on 1/8. You can rely on 1/8 because you see what happened, a blunder. So therefore it was a mistake, and not really a rabbinical decision, it's just a mistake in fact. That 1/8 was sure and confident. We're not talking about a phony. We're talking about a real, live, kosher 8. But he made a mistake. You know, he saw someone that was being buried, and he was sure it was Jack Smith, and it turned out to be John Smith, somebody else. So the question is this a mistake in fact? Is this a mistake in law? And that's the machlokes between Zairi and Rabbi Nach. Amaravatated the toy. So I'll bring you a right that in fact it's a mistake in fact, not in law. What happens if initially there was a shayla gabri chaylev or dam? In other words, there was a piece of fat here on the table and there was a red liquid here on the table. They asked the business and they said, it's okay, it's mutter, you can eat it, just make a brucha and it's fine, it's good. And subsequently they thought about it again, they said, you know what? Looks like we made a mistake. I just checked out the Shulchan Aruch and a small sieve cotton there and the shach, the taz, whatever, and I saw I made a buvu, and therefore it's taka awesome. And not everybody, of course, refrained now from eating the chaylev adam. And then ki hadu bi amle hateira, if the same bezin were to come back and say, you know what, we thought about it now again, and we have a new reason to be matir, nobody would go and listen to them. They would say, come on, this bezin is kind of topsy turvy. One day they say it's mutter, one day it's
wishy washy.
We're not going to pay any attention. Ve'ilu heicha. The osa aid echad, our case, if 1/8 came and said that Nebuch, the husband, passed away, Sharina, we'd be matter her to remarry based on the due diligence. Osa trey, and then after it's 2 aidim and say, what are you talking about? We were dancing with him at a chasana last night. We know that he's alive and kicking. Boy, was he kicking at the chasana. Osa trey asana, then we say, of course, it's osa. Ki hoder osa aid achrina, if a new aid comes on the scene and says, no, he in fact died, Rashi adds, we wouldn't normally believe 1 against 2, but it's talking about Omar Achshav Meis. He says, I don't know what happened yesterday, I don't know what happened 5 years ago. I do know that today, unfortunately, was Levi. There was a big obituary in the papers. I was there to Levi. Levi went on for 3.5 hours. I was going mad. But so we have a new aide comes on the scene and says that, unfortunately, the husband died. Then Shirinullah, then we would be matir. How would we be matter? Didn't you just tell me, like the case in the Chaylev Adam, that once 2 aidim say, it's treif, you can't eat it, we wouldn't reconsider and rely on a new hetedim. We would say, it's awesome forever. Here, however, we are willing to reconsider based on new facts and new testimony. My time, Elamish and the Tosef. So you see that originally the Bezdin, when they relied on the first aid, that was a terrible mistake, because 2 aidim came subsequently and said that she's still alive. And then that he is still alive. And now one new aide comes and says, yeah, but I was there to Levi today, yesterday, this morning. So then we rely on him. So we see it all has to do with not so much with rabbinics and judicial decisions, it has to do with the facts, yes or no. The Rav Lezer over the Toysu. Even Rav Lezer also holds it's a mistake. The son of Lezer, Omer, Yikav Adin Sahar, the Tavi Chatzah Shmeina. Yikav Adin Sahar is an interesting expression. Din is the law. Yikov is the lashon nekev. Nekev means a hole. Yikov hadin sahar, let the law bore a hole through a large, deep, heavy mountain. What does that mean? Mitovi chatashmeina. She has to go and bring a karm chatashmeina. Chatashmeina means it's a karm chatas, but don't think a flimsy chatas. A real chatas as a gishmak, a big chatas with alefetz. A real big carp. What does he mean to say? What Reb Lezer means to say is, on the surface, she thinks, and we think, that this was a reliance on destiny, and that's why it said in the Mishnah that you don't have to go and bring a carbon. However, if you go and dig a little bit deeper, you'll realize that this wasn't a decision of a bezin as much as it was simply a mistake. And if it was a mistake, then she cannot say, I relied on the bezin. Everybody made a mistake in fact. in assuming that the husband had passed away. The aide made a mistake. She did her due diligence and they made mistakes. And the Bezdin made mistakes. So it's not a mistake in Hayru'ah in the law. It was a mistake in the fact. Therefore, she has to bring a real Karbin Chatz. The Lashon of Yikav Adin HaSaharis, says Rashi, is that we don't look at this superficially and say she can rely on the Bezin's psak, and therefore she is potter from bringing a Karbin Chatas. If we dig into it a little bit deeper, Rashi says, Holchin Acher Oimek HaDvarin, go into the depth of these discussions, and you'll see that it wasn't so much a mistake in Hayra, in the law, it was a mistake in fact, and therefore she does have to bring a Karbin Chatas. Zok it's our Gemara. If you're going to tell me that her blazer holds like the Madiyam that we said before, that it's a toys, that's why she has to go and bring a carbon. And the Amr say, oh, if you're going to go and tell me it was a raw, it was a mistake that the Bezdin made in their rabbinical judgment, and my master carbon, why do you have to bring carbon? She's entitled to rely on the Bezdin. And therefore I see that Reb Lezer also agrees that it's a toys and not that it's a hayra.
It's a collective mistake, though.
Yeah,
everybody's involved.
Same thing when you have the Gabi when Matzah Shabbos. There were 1,000 people in Bais Medrash. It was by grace of Rebbe. It was dark outside. Everybody went outside to see if it's dark enough. Everybody said it was 1,000 people. They all agreed that it's already night. And they said we should have davened Maariv a half an hour ago. We're just wasting time. Let's go and daven Maariv. They davened Maariv, and everybody got into their cars and they're starting to drive away. And all of a sudden, the sun starts shining again. So everybody was a collective mistake. So therefore, since it's a collective mistake, don't blame it on the Bezdin, and you got to go and bring your own carbon. Same thing over here. Don't blame it on the Bezdin. Everybody was mistaken if the husband was alive or dead. Therefore, she has to bring a carbon. Who says that Reb Lezer holds that this is a case of to'os as opposed to a case of hayra'ah, and that's why Reb Lezer says, go and bring a chatzos shmeina. Maybe Reb Lezer disagrees with the Gemara in Hayrias, and he holds that a yochid that follows the Psak of Bezin is still mechuyev to go and bring a carbon chatas anyway. Says the Gemara, if that's what Reb Lezer holds, imkein, why did he start off his memra yikav hadinah sahar? He should simply have said tami chatas shmeina. By saying yikav hadinah sahar means that on the level, on the superficial level, when you're learning our Gemara, you assume that it was a toys and hayra, and therefore you look at the Mishnah, potter from a carbon. Says, however, Reb Lezer, dig a little bit deeper, and then you'll realize it wasn't a mistake in the law. It was a mistake in the facts. It was a factual blunder. If that's the case, you're not relying on Bezin. You have to go and bring a carbon after all. So we have a machloikis lemaisa, whether you would or would not have to go and bring a carbon under these circumstances. Okay, so this is now the last case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah told us once again, the aide had come and said that unfortunately the husband passed away. The Bezdin said, mutalach, you can remarry based on that one aide, and make sure you do your due diligence. Now, instead of getting married, holcha v'kilkala, she was mekalkel. What does mekalkel mean? That she lived with someone without the benefit of holy matrimony. In other words, she just went out for a fling to have a good time. Chayev is bekarbon. If after that her husband comes back, then she can't say, well, I relied on Bezdin. Shlehi tirua eli nase. The Bezdin's psak that she can go was to remarry, not to go and have a good time and to go and play around with men, but to remarry. She didn't remarry, and therefore she does have to bring a carbon after that. That's how we learn the Mishnah. That's a Pashut Pshat, like Reb Lezer and HaGemara. My Kilkala, what's the definition of Kilkala? Here it says Reb Lezer, on the side it says Reb Lezer, Oymer, Zinsa. She was Mizana. Mizana means, again, that she strayed. She didn't go and marry, but she did live with Nus, with someone. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Almana L'Koyin Gadol, Grush V'Chalutz L'Koyin Hech. What's talking about is that she was an Almana. After all, the Bezdin said her husband passed away, and therefore she married a Koyin Gadol. Is an Almana allowed to marry a Koyin Gadol? Of course not. Or she was a Grush V'Chalutz from a previous marriage, and the Bezdin said the husband passed away, and she married a Koyin Hech. Of course that was wrong. Shelly, good morning. Shelly, good morning. Please put yourself on mute. Thank you very much, Agit and Zimmer. Welcome back. Zokti Yimara, so we have a machlokes, what the kilkul was. Was it a kilkul of plain, simple snus? Or was there also Isure Kahuna that she went and married a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedge? Man Yom Zinsa, Koshkin Amon Kohen Gadol. According to Man Yom, that says that in the case of Znus, she cannot rely on the Bezin to say, I'm Potter from a carbon. Then certainly, if she's an Amon Kohen Gadol, she certainly can't rely on Bezin. Bezin certainly would not be Matir and Amon to go marry a Kohen Gadol. However, Man Yom Amon Kohen Gadol, according to the Mandiyama, that's Rabbi Yochanan, that says Kilkel means a model of Kohen Gadol, that's when the Mishnah says you have to bring a Karm Chatas. Habzinzaloi. However, if she was Mizana, she just lived with a man, she would not have to bring a carbon. My time, why? The Umma, she said, Atun who? You, Bezin. Atun means a Lashon Atem. You. You were the ones, the Shavis and Panuya. You made me into Panuya. In other words, you said that I'm allowed to remarry. Now, what does that mean, I'm allowed to remarry? That means that I'm no longer married because my husband died. Oh, once you told me that I'm a Panuya, according to Rabbi Yochanan, although the Bezin is certainly not encouraging her to engage in immoral and... extramarital affairs, that the Bezin is certainly not condoning that and not issuing a permit for that, but once they permitted her to be a Panuya, and therefore she's allowed to remarry, so automatically she thinks, oh, okay, so then I can live with somebody else too. So therefore, based on that, she said, I relied on this Pesach of Bezdin, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, she would in fact be parted from bringing a carbon. Tani Kibos Rabbi Yochanan, being a Rai from it, to Rabbi Yochanan, from a Befeirish Braisa, the Braisa hits the nail on the head. Hayrua Bezali Nase. The Bezdin said, you can remarry. And she was Makalker. What type of Makalker? Oh, in such a case, Chayev is Bekarbin because the Bezin didn't go and give her a heter to go and marry a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedjit. They only gave her a right to go and remarry. So that's why Chayev Bekarbin. Is the Chmashma that if you were talking about a situation where she would be Makalker, then she would be part of a Makarbin, just like Rabbi Yochanan said. That is the Rai for the Braisa, finished. However, the Braisa now adds another Nakuda, which is really not so relevant to what we were discussing. The Braisa continues on, that when she's Chayevis Bekarabin, I'll call Bia Ubia Dibira Blasa. That if she went and she lived Al Mon Lekoin God, or Grush Vachalutz Lekoin Hedid, it's not just one Isur when they got married and the first time they had Bia, but for the rest of their lives. If they have another 100 bias for the next 500 years, or whatever it happens to be. Each time she's a chayiv, a new, brand new carbon. Again, we're assuming, of course, that it was a shogeg. If it would be amazing, then that would be no kabbalas. Every time she was in this helem, she was in this cloud, she was assuming that he's not a kohen, or that she's not a grush of chalutza, or she's not, whatever the situation was, divra b'loza should be mechuyiv on every bias. Carbon echad ala carbon. Only one carbon for the ganze geshäft, because Rashi says it's just like if a person eats five pieces of chalev five different days. Behelam echad. Helam echad means without knowing that they were oivre and isur. So even though they did one isur on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, makes no difference. The point is, it was behelam echad. You only have to bring one carbon. Here too, it's behelam echad. Only one carbon. However, when it comes to the blos, shemnisis lachamish v'nei adam, that if she went and married five separate individuals, in other words, she was a grusha and she married, for instance, five separate kehanim, shechayevis bekarmel kolechad v'yechad ha'uvugufim mochlokim. Of course, each one happens to be a separate guf, a separate individual. So therefore, say the chacham, even we would agree in such a case that shemmechuyev ha'kolbiya u'biya. With one person, you only mechuyev one time. With multiple husbands, you mechuyev each one separately. Okay, on to the next mission. Sorry?
The Kohen also has to bring a carbon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Kohen as well.
Both two people that engage in a prohibited relationship, and it was a shogig on both parts, each one has to bring a separate carbon. No question.
Good.
And
just to close the period.
Yes.
If she went and married at Mishnei Eidim and with Bezdin's blessings, the child is still a mamzer from the second husband, no matter what, right?
Exactly right.
Because
Correct. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Unfortunately. Yeah, you're welcome.
Do I have to bring the same carbon copy?
So on to the next Mishnah.
The case with Shizinsa, yes. Where she was LP.
The Bezin said that she can remarry.
Beidecha. And then she was Zinsa.
Correct.
So then the question is whether she brings a court, whether that's considered. Why wouldn't she have to bring a korban?
If you can say, I relied on the Bezin's Hira'a, you wouldn't have to bring a korban. So for instance, if she taka remarried, and then after that, if she found out that she had no right to remarry, I relied on the Bezin, she doesn't have to bring a korban. But she didn't remarry here, she dilly-dallied. Then in such a case, she does have to bring a korban. That's the machlokes of the Hira'a, she has not. Zog the Mishnah. Elisha Sha'alach Ba'alum Benalim Dina Sayyam. The Mishnah is a very simple Mishnah. It goes through a number of simple cases. A woman whose husband and whose son both traveled with Nisiya. And then subsequently, Ubova Umrullah, two Adam come back and say, we have bad news for you. Unfortunately, Beis Palech, Biachach Meis Benech. Both your husband passed away and your son passed away. And Nebuch, she's beside herself. But now, of course, time healed, and now she wants to remarry. The question is, does she fall liyibum or not? Well, they told her that son died after the husband died. So therefore, at the time that the husband died, she did not fall liyibum. Even though the son died 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, a day later, a month later, it makes no difference. At the moment of death, when the husband passed away, he left Zera, he left a ben. Then there's no din of yibum, and therefore she's allowed to go and marry whoever she wants.
If they died simultaneously, that would be a different.
The Gemara assumes that there's no such thing as simultaneously, because ef shalitzamtzim, you can't go and do something. It's got to be one before the other. The next case will be the other way around, as you'll see. Vinicius, and she remarried. V'yachach Amrullah. And then after that, two Edom come and say, Chilif ha'yedvarim. No, unfortunately, it was the other way around. The son passed away first, and then the husband passed away. And therefore, when the husband passed away, there were no children. And therefore, there is a din of Yibam. And she married Lishuk when she was not allowed to. She was over an Isser. What's the Isser? Loisia Eishis Hameis Hachutel Ishzar. She fell a yibam and she had no business marrying out. What happens now? Teitzei, she has to leave that husband because she had no business marrying somebody else. Vavlad rishoin v'achroin mamzer, and the children that she had from that husband are mamzerim. And before we continue on, we have to focus on two issues. Number one, what does it mean the mamzerim? What was the issur involved over here? We have a yivama that was supposed to go and have either a yibam or chalitza from her yavam because her ben died first. She didn't know that and she remarried, but after that we found out that the ben died first, so therefore she fell the yibam, and therefore she's over on the din of l'siya esameis hachutz lizar. That's the chayra only in Isra'lav.
Right.
At Isra'lav you don't get mamzeris, that's not Issachares. So Rashi Midavitzi tells us that our Mishnah goes according to Rav Akiva, the yesh mamzer mechiyav ilav. We're going to discuss that further on the Amud Beis. But what is this Rishon V'Achron all about? So if you go and jump to the Gemara, my Rishon and my Achron, that's in other words 6 or 7 lines down, Ilema Rishon Lefnei Shemua V'Achron V'Achr Shemua. What means Shemua? Shemua, like we had before, there was a report about the fact that the husband didn't die first. It was the ben that died first. However, we didn't have concrete Edom. What happens now? The new Edom come on the scene, they say, Chilif ha'yadvarim, and they say, you should not have gotten married because of the fact that you fell Yibam. I didn't know. So, the Mishnah tells us, Vlad Rishon, that's the first Vlad that was born before she knew anything about the fact that it was a reversal, that the Ben died first. So that child was born without her knowledge. The Achron means that the second one was born after she already knew about the fact that she had no business marrying out because she falls Liyibam. It doesn't make a difference, says our Mishnah, a mamzer is a mamzer, because if you go according to Rebbe Akiva, she was Oyver Chayav Elavin, it's a mamzer. Amrullah, getting back to the Mishnah, what happens if the other way around? Meis Benech, they say that your son died first. V'yachach Meis Balech, and after that your husband died. So therefore, she assumes, or she falls the Yibam. But it's Yama. In fact, the Yavam married her. V'yachach Amrullah, and then after they said, Chilufa Yadvar, no, it was the other way around. Really, the husband died first, and then the ben, and therefore you had no right to be miyabim. And not only did you have now miyabim, you now married your ashes ach shaloi b'makay mitzvah, which of course is an iser kares, that's already an erva. Teitzei v'adlan rishon v'yachra mamzer, nebuch, all the kids that are born to that second husband being the brother-in-law, all of those are mamzerim. And again, Risha V'Achra is the same thing, whether she heard about it before or she heard about it later. If she still has children with that second husband, who's a brother-in-law, then Mamzer. Now we have another case. Amrullah Meis Balach. They say that your husband passed away, Vinissis, and then she remarried. And now we're assuming, for instance, that there were children or that there were no brothers, so there's no Yibam Shaila. Just know a person to Adam came, they said, Meis Balach, your husband died. Vinissis, and she remarried. V'yachach Amrullah Kaim Hoya, and then they say, at the time that you were married to the second husband, when they told you that the husband died, the husband was still alive, and therefore your marriage was not permissible, but you unfortunately got married. And they said, Amrullah, at that time, Kaim Hoya. And Nuchdem Umeis, however, subsequently he did die. Now, today he's Daka dead. But when you remarried, and when you conceived, and when you had a child, at that time, unfortunately, your husband was alive. Tate says she has to go and leave the new husband. The first child that she had, in between that interval, what's the interval? When they originally said, and then, during that time, she got married. And only subsequently, the new Aden come and say, Kayim Haya. So any child that was born during that interval of time, never chamamza, because at that time the husband was still alive. However, any child that's born subsequent, they said, Kaim hoyu mes, he already died. No, v'achar in a mamza. Of course, the next one is not a mamza. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is, of course, it says in the Mishnah, Teitzei, and she still stayed with that husband. So kadai techemene should be the child should be a mamza midrabana. No, v'achar in a mamza. This is the first time that we have a real distinction between Rishon and Achron. The Gemara is going to say that that's the reason why we brought the Rishon and the Achron before, to go and for consistency and style in the Mishnah, as we'll see. Amrullah Meis Balech v'niskadsha. Oh, they said that the husband died. She did not have nisuin, no bia, no chuppah, just kiddushin from someone else. She got a ring. V'yachach bo balech, and then after that her husband came back. She's allowed to return to the first husband. Why? Because she didn't engage in any isur. So our Gemara told us before that the difference between whether niskadsha or nisis, and nisis, unfortunately, she had a bia with that new husband. That was a isur eishes ish. Here she just took the ring. Okay, she'll give the ring back. Nish gifer lechutez lachsel. Therefore, she's allowed to go back to the first husband. Now, avu bishanosel lo achren get. What our Mishnah is telling us is that this Achron doesn't need to give her get because this marriage was never chal in the first place. But what happens if he decides to go and be frum and be machmer and give her a get? That get is meaningless because that kiddushin was meaningless. Lifalei pasul menakuna. It doesn't even rise to the level of reach a get. It's zero. It's gunished. Therefore, she's allowed to marry a koyin subsequently. Ezu Doresh Rablaza bin Masya, the Isha Grusha me Isha Loyikahu, me Ish Sha'ina Isha. What's bothering Rablaza bin Masya is it says in the beginning of Parshas Emor, Isha Zoina Bechalola Loyikahu, the Isha Grusha me Isha Loyikahu, that you're not allowed to go and marry a woman that is divorced from her husband. What type of lashon is that, divorced from a husband? A woman that's an isha grusha, she's divorced. Of course she's divorced from her husband. She's not divorced from a non-husband. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Nasya, it's talking about our case. That if you have such a husband, that second husband, everybody thought it was holy matrimony, but afterwards it turned out holy cow, the first husband was still alive. So therefore that kiddushin was meaningless. So it wasn't her isha. And therefore she's not a grusha, and therefore there's no din of a grusha. She's allowed to marry a kohen. Fine, going back to the Mishnah. We said in the earlier case in the Mishnah that if you had Rishon v'Achron, my Rishon and my Achron, Ilei Rishon lifnei Shemua v'Achron l'Achr Shemua. In other words, let's go talk to Bushel about the first case. You had a Meis Balech v'Achach Meis Benech, and then after that, and she got married. Who did she get married to? She married Lishuk because she heard that her husband had died, and she heard that there was still a ben around when the husband died. Therefore, no yibam, no chalitza. She gets married to somebody else, the shuk, and after that, she hears it's the other way around. Okay, teitzei, she has to leave her husband. Vavlad rishon v'achra mamzer. We should just simply say any vladim from that marriage are mamzerim, like Rebbe Kiva, that is mamzer mechiyavi lavin. What's the rishon mit the achra? So the Gemara is saying maybe it means rishon lifnei shemua, before we heard about the fact that it was the chila fayad dvarim, achron the achishmua, after we determined that the first edim were incorrect, they made a bubu, and in fact it was the other way around, meis benech v'yakach meis balik, that's the achishmua. So says the Gemara, what difference does it make? Bottom line is, she married Meshuk, she had no right to do that. Any child that's born from that union, according to Rebbe Kiva, chayov yilavid havlad mamzer. Let it just simply say havlad mamzer. So, well, you're right. We could have done that. We should look at the misty sefer. Since the sefer says amrullah meis balech, when it says viachach amrullah kayim hayo umeis, that at the time that you married previously and that you had a child, he was still alive. But today he's dead. Oh. What did it say in the Braisa? What did it say in the Mishnah? Her Rishon is Mamzer, because at the time that she conceived and had a child, the husband was still alive. But now if she continues to live with that husband, Ha'achron ain't a Mamzer. The Achron is not a Mamzer because the new Edom confirmed that now he's dead. He wasn't dead a year ago, but he's dead today. That we know for sure. That Avlad ain't a Mamzer. So since it says in the Sefer the difference between the Rishon and the Achron, so Nami Reisha, Risha be Achron, Mamzer. No real chidush in the Reisha, it's just or to the Sefer. Tanravan, that's what we said in the case of the Mishnah, that if a Yevoma marries out Lishuk without getting the benefit of a Chalitza, then the child is a Mamzer. Do Dibre Bekiva, Shayoyma, ain't the Dushin Toys, Bechay Yavalab, Avachomam Aymen. A Mamzer mi Yevoma. No such thing as a Mamzer from a Yevoma that marries Lishuk. Frank Dimara, I understand what the Chachom are saying, but why do they say this ain't mamzer miyavama? V'leima ain't mamzer mechayavi lavin. They should go and say, Rebbe Kiva, you're wrong. There's only a mamzer mechayavi krisis, and not mechayavi lavin. Says he more haitana hachtana Rebbe Kiva. This chachomim are not the standard chachomim that argue with Rebbe Kiva, but in fact, it's another set of talmidim of Rebbe Kiva that had a machloikis on what Rebbe Kiva really hold. We keep on saying that according to Rebbe Kiva, ein kiddushin toivsim chiyav yilavim, period, and all children are mamzerim. But really, there is a machloikis, what did Rebbe Kiva hold? Did Rebbe Kiva hold only chayav yilavim disha'er, or all chayav yilavim generally? So, haitan hachtan Rebbe Kiva hold the omar mechayav yilavim disha'er have a mamzer. Mechayav yilavim greidi loy have a mamzer. What does that mean? Chayav elam d'she'er means not only it's an isalav, but also because of a relationship. Not a relationship that rises to the level of an erva, of an incestuous relationship, because in such a case, everybody would agree the vlad is mamzer. Here it's only a chayav elavin. Now, what type of chayav elavin do you have that is she'er, that is machmas kurva? Says Rashi gives two examples. If you look at the two lines before the bottom, all the way in the bottom of the omid, the first wide line, that Rebbe Kiva, the Omer Yesh Mamzer Machiyav Elav and the She'er, the Machmas Kurva, Kigoyin Anusas of the Beirut, the Omer Koy Elav Elav. What happens if a person were to go and marry Anusas of? In other words, his father, Nishkin Hazakhri Tzadik, and he was Ma'anis, a young lady, shouldn't have. He didn't marry her. If he married the young lady, and afterwards the father died, and the father gave her a get, then another son from another marriage would not be able to go and live with that Ashes of. And here we're not talking about Ashes of, we're talking about Anusas of. The father had one wife and had Baruch Hashem a child, and then at the same time, later, whenever it was, he was Ma'anis, a young lady, and now subsequently that child from the real marriage wants to marry that Anusas of. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's an Isalav. It's not an Isakaris, it's an Isalav. It's not an Ashes of, Anusas of. What happens if, in fact, he does live with that anusas of him? Says Rabbi Kiva, the child would be a Or Rashi gives another example. Person gave a chalitza to his yavama, and then he had second thoughts, and he said, "You know what? You know I should have married in the first. I should have married. I made a mistake. This chalitza was a big boo boo. Should have married." And he marries her. He's over an iser. Kivin shloy bana shov lo yevne, which is an iselav, but it's an iselav which involves a relationship. After all, it's his sister-in-law. Then the child is a mamzer. That's when Rabbi Kiva held as a mamzer. However, chayov yilav in Grady. For instance, we had a case of Lamashal, a mamzer goes and marries a young girl. So what is that? If they have a child, the child, of course, would be a mamzer. But that's according to everybody. So let's not talk about a mamzer, let's talk about a ptsuadaka. Layovi ptsuadaka mikalashe. What happens if a lady marries a ptsuadaka and they have a child? You're talking about ptsuadaka, can't have a child. Okay, also not a good example. Point is, if you have a chiyuv yilavin grady, Rashi gives kigoyim yivomu l'shuk v'doymula. You have a yivoma that goes and marries the shuk. You could have a lady that marries an Amoini or marries a Mitzri. So the child would be a Mitzri Sheni and she'd be over an Isser. Question is, would it be an Isser? Would there be a din of Mamzer? Since it's Chayov Elav and Grady, it's not an Isser of Kurva, nothing to do with family relationships. Be Chayov Elav and Grady, you could go in Yavam and the Shuk, what would be the case over there? Loi have a Mamzer. And that's the reason why the Chachomim that say ein mamzer miyavama, they don't say ein mamzer mechiyav yilavin, because chiyav yilavin disher. I agree with you. There is a mamzer. It's a chiyav yilavin like a case of yavama l'shuk. That's where he holds his no mamzer. That's the ganz of us. Okay. Omer of Yehuda. Omer Rav. Minayin shekinushin toifsim miyavama. We're starting now a new sugya. A machloek is Rav and Shmur. You have a case of yavama that married l'shuk, meaning that she's supposed to have a Yibur Chalitza, she ignored that, and she married somebody outside. That's a Vadin Isser. Loisia Eishas Ameisa Chutz Leishdar. But notice the Lashon of the Pasuk, Loisia Eishas Ameis. The word Loisia means she shouldn't get married, but for that it could have said, Loitikach Ishzar, Loitivar Ishzar. What is the Lashon of Loisia? Loisia sounds like the Lashon of Havaya. And therefore, we have now a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel whether this is a special isur and maybe there ain't kedushin tofsin biyavam. That's machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Omer v'yidam Rav, minayin she kedushin tofsin biyavam. If a person out in the street marries a yavama, that kedushin is not toifis. She would not need a get. It's worthless. Why? She never says, but we see a Eish of the Mesa Chutzli Zar, Loi Tehem Bo Havaya Lezar. See, even though this is only an Isalab, it's not an Isser Kares. Person is over this Loi see a Eish of the Mesa, he'd get Malkis, but he wouldn't get Kares for it. And nevertheless, the Kedusha is not Toifis, you don't need a get, nothing happened, it's a meaningless thing that they got married. Why? Because the Torah says, they see it, there should not be Havaya. Havaya means there should not be an existence of marriage. This is really a tough one, says Shmuel. I'm also troubled by the fact that it says loisiya. So I don't really know what that means. Is Rav right or is he wrong? And therefore, Bani Yoseinu, because I'm not sure, tzricha get, we're going to go and say, yes, when you have a case of Yavam Balashok, she should get a get. Why? Shmuel says, I have a suffix. It's just telling us a lab, don't do it like any other chayov ilavin. You're not allowed to, not supposed to. But if she did it, it's tafsi, because it was just a chayov lab. Oi, e, the loy tafsi, but kedushin uyasa. Maybe Rav is right. Loy siya means that the kedushin is not chal and you don't need a get. So therefore, to be on the safe side, give a get. Omelet of Mary by Rochel Lirav Ashi. Hachi Omer Ameimar, Halacha Kavasi de Shmuel, Halacha like Shmuel, we will be Machayev against under these circumstances because you never know. I don't know what the Halacha is. Is Rav right that there is no Havaya, the Kedushin wasn't Chal? Or do you say, we see it, you're not allowed to go get married and finished? Omer Ashi, Hashi Omer Ameimar, Halacha Kavasi de Shmuel, Im Hoye Yivoma Koyin, Choylitzla Visharile. What happens if her, here the word Yivom is Yivoma, with a mapike, if her yavam was a kohen, in other words, original husband was a kohen, and the yavam was a kohen, And what did she do in the meantime? She got married to somebody else, and she ignored getting a yibum v'chalitza. And now she realizes, oy, 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 I made a terrible boo-boo, I should never have gotten married outside the faith, so to speak. Not really outside the faith, but I should not have gotten married in sin. Now, Rashi says, we're not talking about a woman that consciously and intentionally wanted to violate the rules. It's like a case of cover, like our Mishnah. So you look at the Rashi in the third line. Like the case of our Mishnah. Two Edom came, one Ed came. Somebody came and said, the Baal passed away first, and then afterwards the Ben, and therefore she assumes, okay, I can marry whoever I want. And then afterwards it turns out that it was the other way around, and the Ben died first, and then the husband, and therefore she did fully Yibum, and she married somebody else. You need a get to be on the safe side. Now that he gave her a get, so once she gets that get from the second husband, I don't really know if she needs the get or not, says Shmuel. I'm not sure. Maybe this whole marriage was meaningless. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But since Shmuel says you need a get, you know what? She's not allowed to be misyabim to the Kohen. Why not? Because the Kohen, after all, is a Kohen, and she's getting a get, and a grush is also to the Kohen. Is Cholos of Ishaile, and then she'll be able to go back to that original bad husband that she married. So she'll get a chalitza from the Yavam, and she'll be muteris to the Baal that she married in error. Fraytimura is guri isker. Imke matzino choytin isker. You're telling me that because the Yavam happens to be a Kohen, in such circumstances, then she's allowed to go back to... She shouldn't be allowed to go back to her husband. She had no business marrying that husband. It's true that the Edom originally came and said that she is Muteris Lishuk, but ultimately the Maisa, she was the Muter Lishuk. So why are we allowing her to go back to the original husband? So Tumara Elim Hoya, when we say the original husband, he needs the husband that she married based on the assumption that the men died second, and that therefore she did not fully give him. Elim Hoya Yavama, just the opposite. Elim Hoya Yavama, Yisrael. If the Yavam, Yavamah, if her Yavam was Yisrael, no Yisrael Sheni get, let the second one give a get, like Shmuel Paskin, because we're not sure, was there Havai Kedusha, was Kedusha Toifson or not, give a get, and now, Vuhutchuloi, and she's mutter to go to the Yavam, not to go back to the original husband, she's mutter to go to the Yavam. How could she go to the Yavam? She got a get. If the Yavam was the Yisrael, even though she got a get mitzad sofik, makes a difference. A Yisrael is allowed to go and marry a grusha. Now the Yavam would be able to marry her. So you have a situation where initially she was married to her husband, the husband, and they had a child. The husband and child died. The Edom said, you're allowed to go and marry the shuk because the son died second. Afterwards it turned out there was a boo-boo, it was the other way around. She had no business marrying that Yavam and the shuk. Okay. She had no business marrying that fellow. The halach is she has to go and get a get. That's what Shmuel holds, because I'm not sure was that kiddushin was chal or not.
From the second marriage.
From the second marriage. So she needs a get, but now she'll be able to go back to the original Yavam, because even though she is a chalutza, and even though she's an almana, she's mutal Yavam, because the Yavam was a Yisrael. Lushtikl, Omer of Gidl, Omer Rav, Chir Bar Yosef, Omer Rav. This is the same Rav that we had at the top of the Yomud. The Rav holds ein kiddushin toifsin be yavam. So says now Rav, yavama kiddushin ein ba, nisuin yesh ba. What does that mean? So the way the Gemara understands this in the Havamina, we're talking about legabe, the need for a get. Rav already said at the top of the Amid, ein kiddushin toifsin be yavam. If you have a yavama who marries out l'shuk, not with the benefit of a chalitza. She didn't get a yibam, not a chalitza. Gurish, she marries the shuk. What did Rav say at the beginning? Ein kiddushin tofsim yibama. The kiddushin is not toifis, it's zero. And therefore, she does not need a get. However, nisuin, if she went the next step beyond kiddushin, and she had nisuin with that person, l'shuk, yeshba, then she would need a get after all. Frey Timura, that doesn't sound logical. Ikidushin Einba, Nisuin Nami Einba. After all, Nisuin is a second step. You never go directly to Nisuin. You first have the Kiddushin, and then you build upon that and have a Nisuin subsequently. If you tell me that the Kiddushin was meaningless, then the Chorid Nisuin is also meaningless. How is the Nisuin Toifis? Why should there be a get by the Nisuin if there was no requirement of a get by the Kiddushin? Everything, well, you're right. Therefore, let's go make an emendation. That's what the art school always says, emendation with an E. Eima kedushin nisuin eima. You're right. There's no kedushin, no nisuin. It's all gunish mit gunish, according to Rav, that holds ein kedushin and ein nisuin toivsin biyama. Viva yisayim nochabshat. My nisuin yeshba. What does that mean? Biznus kirav amnuna. And what it says, biznus, it really means kiznus. It has a status like znus. Like Rav Amnuna said, the Amrav Amnuna shemeres yam shezinsa asura liyavama. What happens if you have a regular ashesish, regular married lady, she's married to Mr. Smith, and unfortunately one day her Yetzirah got the best of her, and she went and she lived with Mr. Jones. And they did it willingly, consensually. What's it? Didn't even after that she can go and clap al chayt 1,000 times. Unfortunately, she made a big mistake. She was Mesana, and she's osur to her husband. That's clear, cut in the Torah, that ashesish cannot return to her husband if she lived with somebody else consensually. Here we have a case on that of an Eish Yisish, we have a Shemeres Yava that lives consensually with someone else without the benefit of Kiddushin. So she lives with someone. And now after that she says, I'm sorry, okay. She wants to go to the Yavim, says Rav Amnuna, just like an Eish Yisish cannot go back to her husband, the Shemeres Yava cannot go to her Yava. She's a Surah Liyavamah. Says our Gemara, that's what Rav was saying over here. That if it wasn't just Kiddushin, it was Nisuin, that she went and lived with someone. Even though she lived with him after having gotten married, she was under the impression that she had every right to go and marry the Shuk because of the fact that they told her that first your husband died and then the Ben died. Oh, so therefore I'm mutter to go marry the Shuk. And that's what she did. So it wasn't a case of Zinsa. It was a case that she was married and then afterwards she realized, I should not have gotten married because afterwards Adam said that really the Ben fell first, then died first, and then the husband died, and therefore she fell liyibum, and therefore, quote unquote, she was mizane. Says Rav Amnuna, unfortunately, this nisuin that she did has the same, not Rav Amnuna said it, Rav said, this nisuin that she did has the same status of znus, and therefore she cannot go to her yavim after all. Say if it was just a kiddushin and nothing happened, she just got a ringle, then fine. Afterwards, we realize we made a boo boo, then she go to her yavim. However, if it was nisuin, then asur liyavamah. She loses the opportunity now of having yibam with her yavim, just like Rav Amnuna says. Like we said initially, kiddushin ein ba nisuin yesh ba. What does that mean? We were afraid that we're going to go and confuse this halacha with the case of an isha shalach balam din aseyam. What is that? What does the Gemara mean? We mean taka legabi get, like we thought initially. And if there was a kiddushin, she doesn't require a get. But if there was an isuan, she does require a get. What is this all about? So you remember we had back in our original Mishnah that if an isha shahalach balam din aseyam and she married based on an aid that said meis balech v'nisis v'yakach bala ba bala teitzi mizeh mizeh utzrich a get. She needs a get from the first husband and from the second husband. From that second husband, even though it wasn't a real husband, because she was a married lady. But she did nisuin, she has to have a get. Back in the Mishnah here on the Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, we learned a few minutes ago, Omru lo meiz va'alech v'niskadsha, not nisuin, she only had kiddushin. V'yachach bo bala, muteris lachsaloi, she's allowed to go back to the first husband and she does not need a get. And even if he gave her a get, that get was worthless. So by Nisuin, she requires a get. By Kiddushin, she does not require a get. That's the case by the Isha Shehalach Balam Dinaseyam. So that we don't have confusion in our case of the Yavoma, that not only her husband died, but there was a Kakasha, there was a Shaila. Did the son die first and the son die second? Unfortunately, she was under the impression, based on Adis, that the son died.
It's not died, second.
And therefore, she has no chiyuv of yibam or chalitza. Right. And she married out to somebody else, right, only to find out later on, what did I do? If I would go and say that both by the Kiddushin and Nisuin, that nothing is toifiz and nothing, you don't need a get. Oh, people who say the same thing, Gabi Isha Shalach Balam Dina say, there's no difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin, you don't need a get. But then we said that you do need a get by Nisuin, get Mizeh or Mizeh. By the Kiddushin, she doesn't need a get. So as not to confuse the two halachas, we said, same thing over here too. Kiddushin, you don't need a get. Just like in the case in the Amud Aleph, Kiddushin, you don't need a get. But by Nisuin, even though it's a Ikra Din, you should also not require a get, because Loisia, Eishas HaMeitzachut, there's no Havaya, ain't Kiddushin Toifsin, ain't Nisuin Toifsin, but not to be Mishala for the other Allah. We said, you know what? Give a get, after all, after the Nisuin. Amr of Yanai, Mechabur and Nimnu Begomra, ain't Kiddushin Toifsin B'Yavam. They paskin, the Kiddushin is not Toifsin B'Yavam. In other words, like Rav said at the top of the Omid, Kiddushin is not Toifsin B'Yavam. Rabbi, didn't we learn this in the Mishnah? In other words, what chidush are you telling us? Anybody that learns the next Mishnah can see it on their own without Rabbi Yanai. Did not. What do we learn in the Mishnah? Oy malisha, hari at mukadeshesli leachashe ezgayer leachashe tizgayri leachashe ishtacharer leachashe tishtachari leachashe yomz baleich leachashe tomz achoisech or leachashe yachetzloch yivamech. All of these are examples of the same halacha, and that is a person cannot go and marry a dovah shaloi bodo oilam, a situation which didn't even occur yet. For instance, when he says, Hari at mekudeshes li, the achish is gayer, you have a goy going over to a Jewish girl and said, I'm still a goy, but tomorrow I have my appointment with the Bezdin, we're going to go to the Moyel tomorrow, I'm going to have my Bris Mila, 3 days later after things heal, I'm going to have my, go to the Mikvah, Kabbalah, by within a week, I'll be able to marry you. I want to already give you the ring right now to be Mekadosh you in a week from now. Or the other way around, you had a Jewish man, and the girl was going through conversion, and now it's already at the end of the conversion, she's going to go to the Mikvah in a week from now, and he gives me a ring today and says, I don't want somebody else to chop you out. I give you the ring today. So as soon as the gear is over, I want you to be mukadeshes to me at that time. Not talking about a regular conversion. We're talking about an eved or a shivcha, that at the moment eved or shivcha is nothing, but they will be emancipated. Or now, this is a wonderful, wonderful case. Now the husband is on his deathbed, and the person goes over to the wife and says, as you can see, it's any time. Yes, everybody in shul is saying, tell them the whole day, it's 100% true. The doctors have given up hope. As soon as they are, I want to go and give you the kesef now, so I should be married to you immediately after. Or after your sister passes away, he was married to the sister, and they have a chois ishtoi, and he says to the other sister, you see that your sister Nebuch is dying, it's just any time now, I want to marry you. Again, these are wonderful, wonderful husbands. Oh, that's our case over here. In other words, there's a woman that's waiting for Yibam or Chalitza, and somebody else comes over and says, I know the Yavam, he's not going to go and be the Yavam, he's going to give you Chalitza. It'll take a few days, a week or two, I give you a Kesef Kedushin now. Ain't a Kedushin. All of these things are Dover, Shaloi, Pala, Oilam, they haven't occurred yet, so ain't a Kedushin. Says Rabbi Yochanan, from that last case, you know why ain't a Kedushin? Because it's impossible now to go and marry her, just like all those other cases. It's impossible to go and marry the woman where the husband is on his deathbed. Lamaisi is still alive. I can't go and marry the woman that's the sister's on the deathbed. She's still alive. None of these things can happen now. Before my conversion, before your conversion, before your emancipation. Here too, I cannot possibly marry you now. Why not? Because you happen to be a Yavama falling to a Yavam, and Ein Kiddushin types of the Yavama. So the Chorah have a Beferish in Mishnah. Rabbi Yana Ishkoyach, but I can learn it myself from the Mishnah.
So what does Shmuel do in the circle?
I'm sorry?
Why much more than...
Oh, you'll see in a moment. Amaleis, and now comes back Rabbi Yana, he says, he loved it, the chaspa. If it wasn't for the fact that I went and pulled up the chaspa, loy mi mishkachas marganisa to say. It's like a pearl inside an oyster. Or it happens to be a jewel on the floor, which is covered over by a chaspa. Chaspa means a shard of a klicheris, of pottery. Yeah, you said that the jewel was there all along, but somebody has to go and pick up that shard. If you don't pick up the shard, you're not going to find the jewel underneath. So yes, it's true, it's in that Mishnah, but had I not explained it to you, then you wouldn't have known to find it there. Why wouldn't you have known to find it there? As we're going to say in a moment, because maybe this is going according to Rebbe Akiva, that Ein Kiddushin Toysim Chayav Elavin, but maybe it doesn't go according to everybody else. And that's what the next Gemara says, only Reish Lakish. Elav the Kotzach Gavra Rabba, Rabbi Yanai was very, very nice to you, and he respected you, and he said, yeah, you're 100% right, we can learn from that Mishnah, but I was the one that uncovered it by telling you the Halacha, have a minute, no, I would tell you the Masnis and Rebbe Akiva, Yom Ein Kiddushin Toysim Chayav Elavin. And that's the reason why, in other words, Rav's halach is going according to the Rabbanah, not according to Rabbi Akiva. Everybody agrees according to Rabbi Akiva, Ein Kiddushin Toytzim. Rav is saying that even us, the Rabbanah, that disagree with Rabbi Akiva, hold Ein Kiddushin Toytzim Yavama. Right? If we wouldn't know this Mishnah, if we wouldn't know the halach of Rav, we would assume that's Rabbi Akiva. Frey Timurah, it would go according to Rabbi Akiva, be Rabbi Akiva. Ki omalol li'acha shi'achlitz loich yivamech, litvisi ba kiddushi. If it's not going to Rabbi Akiva, this final case, it should be Mekudeshes after all. You know why? Because even though Rabbi Akiva holds a kiddushin in terms of Chayav Elavin, Shemina Rabbi Akiva, the Yoma Adam Matna Dovah Shaloi Bala Oilam. Rabbi Akiva, on this halacha of being Matna, he holds you can be Matna. So even though Taka, as of the moment, there's no chalitza, he cannot go and marry her. And even if he would marry her, Ein Kiddushin Toifsin. However, Rabbi Akiva holds Odom Machna Dershav La'olam, and therefore, since in a week from now or a month from now, after the chalitza, she will be able to go and marry him, marry her. So therefore, this stranger who comes over to her and says, here is a ring. I know we can't be koina now, because Ein Kiddushin Toytzim Chayav Elavin, you're still a Yavama. But in a week from now, in a month from now, you'll be no longer Yavama, you'll get your Chalitza. I want the Kinyan to be Chal, and I'm giving you the ring right now. Rabbi Akiva holds that it works. So that Mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Akiva after all. And Mirchim, we're going to continue on. How do we know Rabbi Akiva holds other Machlif Shul Oilam? Mirchim, continue that tomorrow.
Shmuel,
we'll
get to also tomorrow.
Sorry?
Shmuel,
it's a Shemusi
case.
Okay. In the meantime, have a wonderful day. Bracha Batzlocha.
Tonight.
Anyone who's. We do not have a recorded shir from last Machzor for the first 2 days of Yom Tov. And somebody is going to make a comment, like Shelley will say, oh, you didn't have a Machzor during Yom Tov. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the point is, we did not have Shirim. So, Mirchim, tonight at the Kolo at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Sunday's shiur. Mirchim, tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Monday's shiur. Then, after Shem, we'll have it recorded. We will not have missed any blessings. So if you're willing or interested, it'll be both by Zoom and in person at 8 o'clock tonight. Tonight, Sunday's shiur. Tomorrow, Mirchim, Monday's shiur. In the meantime, everybody say, have a shiur of wonderful tidings. Have a great day. A good zimmer. All the best. Thank you for joining.
Good
Israel.
Thank
you. You listen.
So.